Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, great God, welcome to another time in his presence. Amen, amen. I hope you've had an amazing day. I hope you've had an awesome week. And I hope you are delighted to be in his presence. You're welcome to Love Assembly's Bible study. It's a continuation from last week's study. We've been looking at divine innovation, and it's a privilege to be back here with you, bringing you the word. I'm excited, and I hope you're excited. And before we go on, I'd just like us to pray wherever you are. Father, we thank you for tonight. We give you praise. We magnify your name. We honor you and we adore you for great things you have done. Mighty Father, tonight I pray that you send your word and let your word bring healing. Let your word bring liberation. Father, let there be a transformation, O God. Send your word. And Father, I thank you. I give you praise. Be thou exalted, be thou glorified in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Last week, we started looking at divine innovation by the grace of God. And today we will continue. I shared with us last week that divine innovation is working with the Holy Spirit to introduce new ideas, new technology, new products, new services, new policies, new products and services, anything that would be a benefit, that will solve a problem and be a benefit to humanity, that will better lives and bring glory to God, is what divine innovation is. It starts in the spirit. It's the innovation, divine innovation, or innovation is the gift, or it sits with the Holy Spirit. Starts from the Spirit of God. Nothing that was ever created was created except by the Spirit of God. So I just want to reiterate that. And how does it happen? How do we manifest? How do we birth these innovations? These ideas and services and products and technology that adds value to human beings, we do it in partnership. So it is the Holy Spirit partnering with us, with human beings, and human beings then partnering with other human beings to develop and create these solutions. And I showed us some of the innovations that have occurred in the spirit in times past by God. Salvation, the most important and the most relevant innovation of all ages of the world. It's God dying for our sins, sending his son to die for our sins, to cleanse us, to redeem us, to buy us back to himself. And it's always been about saving mankind, about saving humanity. God, when Adam and Eve fell and sinned, he killed an animal and made a covering for them. That's where we came up with the concept of clothes and clothing. It came from God covering us, covering mankind. We see the innovation with the ark, It had never rained. No one had ever seen rain or even seen a boat, a ship. But God, again, in his manifold wisdom to save mankind from the impending destruction to come, gave Noah the idea of the ark. We see again in the book of Genesis, when there was famine in the land in the whole world, and there was only one place where you could get food to survive, to save mankind, and that was in Egypt. And how did that happen? God gave the wisdom and the creativity and the innovation of silos of storing grain to Joseph. So God has always been in the business of saving mankind, and he wants to work through us, through you and I, to bring innovation and to bring solution to the world. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. He went about doing good, healing everyone that was sick, casting out demons, bringing deliverance. And today, you and I are saved. If you are not saved and you're on this broadcast, I'd like to encourage you that at the end of tonight's teaching, that the Lord himself will encounter you and show you that you are important, you are valuable to him. He loves you with an everlasting love. Jesus was slain from the foundation of the earth, from the foundation of the world, for us, for you and I. And I trust that the Lord will reach you and I tonight. Amen. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit. But as we were studying last Thursday, after the study, the Lord took me back to something that I want us to look at again. If you have your Bibles, can we go to our text, which is in the book of Judges, where the theme, where God ministered to us, where we got a theme from. In Judges, we'll be reading Judges chapter 15. I just want to show you something that the Lord wants me to highlight tonight. Judges chapter 15, verse 14. Remember the story I gave us, the background story? It says, and I read, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him. The Philistines were the ones that were holding the children of Israel in captivity. They were holding them in bondage. They had taken their territory. They were basically afraid of the Philistines. Is that your story? Is that your story? The story we see in Genesis chapter 1, when the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered upon the face of the waters, brooded upon the face of the swamp. And there was a mishmash. There was chaos. There was darkness. There was confusion. And the Spirit of the Lord hovered. But is that your situation? Is that your testimony? Is that your experience? The Lord tonight wants to bring deliverance to you and I, and he wants to do it by his Spirit. He wants to open your eyes and my eyes and to show us what is possible, what is achievable, what is attainable, if we can tonight yield to him. Amen. The Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, came upon Samson mightily, so that the ropes that were on his arms were as flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. If I can stop here and just bring you the word of God, you that is watching. The devil derives joy in putting mankind and humanity in bondage. He thrives on it. He excels. In making sure that he puts the earth, puts everything that God has made with potential in deep darkness. It is the strategy of the devil. You begin to wonder why countries, nations that are filled with so much natural resources are termed the poorest nations in the world. You begin to wonder why people that produce what makes other people rich are the ones in bondage. You begin to wonder why the nations with the highest number of rich people still have so many committing suicide and in so much grip of the devil through mental health sickness. You begin to consider, why is it that there's so much pain and suffering? We see that, as I shared with us the other time, that the Lord has allowed it in the book of Romans. The earth was subjected to this futility, to this bondage. waiting for the day of liberation, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's a Bible study, so let's read some scriptures. You begin to wonder why. As an individual, let's look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 16. Acts of the Apostles, 16, verse 16. I don't know whether this is your story. You are so well educated. You are well educated. You are beautiful. You are handsome. You have great potentials in you, but yet you are in bondage. The Bible says it happened that as we were going, this is Paul speaking, as we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us. She, for who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. So many of you that have great ideas, great concept, great power, great wisdom. You have the spirit of God, but yet you are being bound and chained, bonds and chains. We are held, we are deep down in debt. We are deep down in pain, in penury, in poverty. We are deep down, our heads are bowed. Why? Because that is what the devil enjoys doing. Bible said this lady, a slave girl, slavery is that bad because the masters were using this woman to become wealthy. They were manipulating, using, tapping her resources, extracting everything from her for their own gain. So on an individual level, you earn 100,000, you earn 50,000, but at the end of the month, you can't account for anything. You are still in red. You are the best staff in your office. They use you and use you and use you and use you. You are the highest producing. The Lord, through his spirit, has blessed you so much that you are making so much. But you are making so much for other people. In bondage. And on a national level, let me show you the wickedness of the devil. Because I was wondering, how, Lord, what does this bondage mean? They bound him. And it only took the coming of the Holy Spirit for that bound to be loosed. And I pray tonight that as you hear this word of God, that every chain of your past, every chain in your DNA, every chain in your family line, every chain that has stopped you from manifesting the glory of God, from manifesting the wisdom, the innovation of God, because it's through the spirit and innovation that you break free. The grace of God that is new every morning, I'll come to that. How did Israel become slaves? Because the word there is slavery. How did they become slaves in Egypt? If you read the Bible says they left their land in Canaan and they came into Egypt for food. Some of us have become slaves for the bread that we eat. Some of us have become slaves because of what to eat and to drink. We become slaves because of temporary pleasure. We become slaves because to our careers. We become slaves to the pursuit of trying to make it in life. So they came into Egypt. You see the story in the book of Genesis. But where I want to show you is the spiritual side that you might never have seen before. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus and chapter number 3. Let me just find the scripture. And the Bible says, I'll give you the commentary as I find the scripture that I'm looking for. The Bible says that they were looking for, they just came to me. They were looking for food, running away from the slavery, and something happened. You will see. Yes, Exodus chapter 7. Exodus 7. I've been reading this scripture, but it just opened up to me. Exodus chapter 7, it says, verse 8. Then the Lord told Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, perform a miraculous sign, then you are to say to Aaron, take your staff and throw it in front of Pharaoh. It will become a serpent, a snake. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did what the Lord had commanded them. Aaron threw his staff in front of Pharaoh and his officials, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they, along with the Egyptian magicians, did the same thing with their secret art. They did the same thing with their secret art. Do you have another translation? If you have another translation, let's just see another translation. That's the NIV. If you have the King James says, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, with their sorcery. You read different translation. So how is it possible that these people in Egypt, who are in the government of Pharaoh, could throw their stick on the ground and it became a snake? Bible said they used their enchantment, dark art. They use witchcraft. They use their power to do that. Imagine what they had been doing. Very similar to the story we see in the account we see in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, verse 16. They used witchcraft to do things that wowed the people. Things that looked supernatural, things that looked powerful to the ordinary man. The people that came into Egypt and Joseph had done this great innovation and brought so many miracles and done so many things, and they were doing well. But over time, the Egyptians, the Pharaoh, remember the stories that they sold all their land to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh became the owner of every land in Egypt, bar the land of the priests in Egypt. So with that, he had control of the land. That meant that you couldn't buy a land or own a land without going through Pharaoh. So what happened? Over time, they started enacting policies. If you lose your land and you lose your right to where you are, and they start enacting policies, wicked policies that deny the people. Some of the policies were kill the male children. Some of the policies were throw them in the sea. Some of the policies was you have to abort these babies. They have to kill these babies. Wickedness started increasing. You have to stop worshiping. You have to do this. You have to do that. And over time, the people became slaves. The policies I could imagine, I'm not seeing the Bible, is that if we can't trace your ancestry to the Egyptian line, then you cannot become an Egyptian. And everything they did was through wickedness, through sorcery, through the evil power of the devil, held the people in bondage. Friends, these people, like the lady in Acts of the Apostles 16, Bible said they were building things in Egypt. They were building things, but they were living in poverty. They didn't own anything. They were stripped of their dignity. Until the Lord came by the Spirit, sent his Spirit, moved through Moses and his the rod of God, and God brought deliverance. Friends, no wonder the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down strongholds, casting down imagination. You see that in Acts, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. What is limiting your mind? What is limiting your ability to break free? What is that bondage in your life? That though you are a child of God, though you are an Israelite of the order of Jesus, yet you are being bound and held. You are producing, you are laboring, but you are producing for Pharaoh. You are laboring and you are producing and making these the masters of this lady rich. The sad thing about it is that they couldn't worship. The Israelites couldn't worship. Remember when Moses went to Pharaoh and God said, let my people go that they might go and worship me. The reason why God wants to liberate us, why God is sending a spirit to brood upon the face of the water, is to liberate you and I to worship. You can't worship freely. You can't pray in your office. You can't say today, you know what, I'm just going to stay at home and I'm just going to worship. I'm just going to pray. You can't, because you have to go and serve your master. You have to go and serve your master, which is what to eat and what to drink. Oh, you can't, the bondage is so terrible. You send your children to schools where they label them, where they tell your children you can't become anything, where they tell your children, no, you are the lowest of the low. Where they tell your children everything according to the gods of the land of Egypt. But God wants to liberate us. God wants to bring us to the place by his spirit that these shackles, just as he fell off the hands of Samson, will fall off our hands. So that these scales will fall off our eyes. Who says you need to go to their school? Innovation. You can start homeschooling. You can school your own children. Innovation. You don't need to use their books. Bible said they used the books. When God came and moved in the city and they brought out their books of witchcraft and they burnt it. These are the books they're using to teach your children. When you can, by the Spirit of God, write your own books. Oh, Masaka Yagada, I just want you to pray wherever you are right now. What is the master controlling you? What master is controlling you? What Pharaoh is controlling that when you eat, when you sleep? You see people working till there's 100. Laboring till they're 100. No wonder the word of God says you are gods, but you die like mere men. The reason why God is talking to us about divine innovation, every one of us should innovate by the Spirit. We have the Spirit of God. For whosoever the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. He has come to liberate you. Why? Because the devil's strategy and plan for your life is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. To steal your freedom, to steal your liberty in Christ, to steal your creativity, to steal every seed that God has put in you. The day you become restless, you will break the yoke of your neck. And the Holy Spirit showed me, and is showing you tonight, that when he came mightily upon Samson, every chain was broken. Every chain was broken. Wherever you are, I want you to pray, Lord, let every chain of poverty, every chain of mediocrity, every chain of excuse, every chain that has limited you. Jesus came to the man at the well, sitting by the pool. I said, what would you have me do? What do you want? The resurrection and the life is standing in front of you. The man started saying, oh, I have no man. Then when the water is stirred, I have no man to throw me inside. Friends, Jesus is here. The Holy Spirit is here. You don't need any man. You just need Jesus. You just need Jesus. I hope you're angry in the spirit and you are praying right now. You are laying your hand on yourself and saying, Lord, tonight, every yoke of excuse, every yoke of mediocrity, every yoke chaining me from manifesting and becoming all you have called me to become. Every chain yoking me to just using other people's products, tools, services without owning mine, making others rich. Because when you keep using every other person's service, every other person's product, dressing like every other person, wearing people's fake hair on your hair, wearing people's own makeup on your face, wearing people's clothes, there's no originality. You lose your identity. Bible said that when Moses came to the well and delivered and helped water help Zipporah and the people water their flock. They went home and they said to their father, "We saw an Egyptian because of the way he dressed." You and I have lost our identity. We have the image of Christ, shaped like Christ. We, as we see the Father work, we can work hitherto. As we see God create, we can create. We can call for things that be not as though they are. We can turn water to wine. We can walk upon the water. We can create and build our own ark. We can create our own clothes. Whatever I see my Father do, I can do. But when we copy other people, when we give our wealth to every other person and have nothing, how do we want to go and worship God? Oh, Basante Legada Brana Satosha. It is the work of the Holy Spirit, but we must partner with the Holy Spirit. We must partner with the Holy Spirit. I want to just show us a few things, and hopefully I'll take questions, and hopefully you are praying tonight. Right now, I hear somebody making excuses. I hear somebody telling me, oh my, nobody has ever done it. I rebuke that voice in the name of Jesus. Oh, nobody will buy it. Nobody will like it. It's nobody's business. It is just work by the Holy Spirit and create, innovate, find new ways, allow the Holy Spirit, find new ways, do all things in new ways. Amen, 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 amen. So what the Holy Spirit does is that he frees you, he liberates your thinking, he liberates your boxed mentality. He opens your mind. The other day I came up with a new innovation. Over the years I've always eaten noodles. Just noodles and noodles. But the other day, a new innovation came to me. Why not prepare noodles with yam? You've never tried it before. Beautiful. Noodles and yam. Just garnish the noodles with yam around about it. You might call it starch abuse. It's none of my business. That is my innovation. That's my product. I'm proud of it. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Create something. Create your own thing. You derive joy because you are becoming like God when you create. It's a way of knowing God. Let me just show you something. I found something that will be a blessing to you. Let me just show you some people. It's a Bible study, so Allow me to study with you. I'm going to give you the names of some Christian scientists. Right? I'll give you the names of Christian scientists. One is a man called Robert Boyle, born in 1627 and died in 1691. He said, and I quote, that a deeper understanding of science was a higher glorification of God. He defined elements and compounds and mixtures, discovered the first gas law, which is what we call Boyle's Law. Another one, Antonio Lavosa, a Roman Catholic believer in the authenticity of the Holy Scriptures, a founder of modern chemistry, discovered oxygen's role in combustion and respiration, discovered that water is a compound of hydrogen and oxygen. Michael Faraday, 1791 to died in 1867. A devout member and elder of the Sandemanian Church, discovered electromagnetic induction, discovered the first experimental link between light and magnetism, carried out the first room temperature liquefaction of a gas. James Clerk Maxwell, an evangelical Protestant who learned the Bible by heart at age 14. Transformed our understanding, that's human, the human being's understanding of nature. His famous quotations unify the forces of electricity and magnetism, indicating that light is an electromagnetic wave. His kinetic theory established that temperature is entirely dependent on the speeds of particles. Arthur Compton, 1892 and died in 1962. A deacon in the Baptist Church discovered that light can behave as a particle as well as a wave, coined the word photon to describe a particle of light. Ronald Fisher, 1892-1962, a devout Anglican, made religious broadcasts and wrote religious articles, unified evolution by natural selection with Mandel's rule of inheritance, so defining the nature, the new field of population genetics. I can go on and go on. Isaac Newton, 1642 to 1727, passionate Protestant who spent more time, listen to this, Isaac Newton spent more time on Bible study than maths and physics, profoundly changed our understanding of nature with his law of universal gravitation and his law of motion, invented calculus, built the first ever reflective telescope, showed sunlight is made of all colors of rainbow. I can go on and on. Charles Townes, a member of the United Church of Christ, prayed daily, wrote books linking science and religion, believed religion more important than science, invented the laser, established the Milky Way, has a supermassive black hole at the center of it. Friends, I can go on and tell you these scientists who discovered things. These are men who read the Bible, believed the Bible, read it more than their field, but God's wisdom by the Holy Spirit manifested in them, and they changed nature, and they changed what we know about the life, the world that we live in. Friends, the Holy Spirit can do great things if you and I yield to him in our sphere of influence, in our areas of calling. Praise God. Praise God. How does he do it? How does he do it? He changes our thinking, changes our understanding. He gives us inspiration. And what does the Holy Spirit do? He gives you the raw materials. He gives you the raw materials. He showed Samson the jawbone of an ass. He showed him the jawbone in the spirit, because when you're in the spirit, you're working with the Spirit of God, you see things on a higher level. You see things that men can't see and comprehend. He understood that God can use anything that he gives him for great works. Your time, God can use your time for great things. What you are calling junk, God can use your junk and produce the best art that the world has ever seen. God can use your broken story to transform lives if only we can yield and give him our time and attention. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he activates your spiritual senses. He activates your spiritual senses. Bible says in the book of Proverbs 24, 30 to 34, the preacher went about, he said, I observed, I went by the vineyard of a lazy man, and I observed this, and I observed this. The place was grown with weeds. The walls were broken. A little sleep, a little slumber. By observation. Why? How does that observation come? By the Holy Spirit activating your senses. Whether it's your nose, whether it's your sense of smell, your sense of taste, your sense of vision, your ability to hear. When people say there's a casting out, we'll say there's a lifting up. How are we able to say there's a lifting up? Why? Because we see what other people don't see. You hear what other people don't hear. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is at work in us. The second point is that when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon us, he activates the curiosity in us, the ability to ask questions, to ask questions. Lord, how is this? How does this work? Lord, how does this, what are you saying with this? How does this happen? What he activates the ability to investigate, the ability to explore, the ability to probe. Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Study what? What are we studying? Not just the Bible. We study the whole creation of God. Because the whole creation manifests the glory and the wisdom of God. Lord, how is it? How does the circulatory system work? Lord, how does water rain? How does rain stay in the cloud, in the sky as cloud? Then when it becomes heavy, it drops as rain. Then when the sun comes, it evaporates. Lord, what does that mean? You understand times and seasons. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. That means God gives you wisdom to know that man doesn't live forever. So whatever you do has to be something that echoes in eternity. The curiosity. You must be curious. You must ask questions. That is why children are born curious. They're always testing. They're always testing. My daughter, every time she's putting something in her mouth, she's trying to test. Because her senses are not fully developed, but she's trying to feel her way, curious. That's why your child will ask you, Mom, why? Curiosity. You see that in the book of Exodus chapter 3, verse 3. Bible says, how did God speak to Moses? Moses saw the burning bush. The bush was burning. He said, let me turn aside. Let me see this marvel. Let me investigate this. Let me investigate. Let me explore. How is it that during a pandemic, some people are big, more millionaires and billionaires are created during a pandemic? How is that possible? Let me investigate. Let me investigate. How does this work? Why does this happen this way? Why does this happen this way? Moses, as he turned, God spoke to him. Don't kill the curiosity in you. Don't kill the curiosity in your child. If you don't want to be curious, don't kill it in other people. Oh, how does this work? Study to show yourself approved. Then you become a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Study the creation of God. Study the works of God. Study how God does his things. In studying it, you begin to open up to you the wisdom, the mysteries. Bible says that the secret reaches in secret places, in dark places, in hidden places. God has covered it. Just the way gold is not on the surface, gold is hidden. You need to explore. You need to investigate. How do you know that gold is found in certain areas, certain geographic location? You begin to study the soil samples. You know that there are certain soils that are associated with gold. You know there are certain vegetation that are associated with diamond. You begin to study. There are certain things you begin to see. You can begin to tell the things that are happening. You begin to study. Oh, people at this time of the year, when the weather is like this, people are depressed. Oh, God will will give you a wisdom. You can start something. You can create something that begins to change the mood of people. You begin to, that is the innovation. No wonder the Lord is saying to us, arise and shine, for your glory has come. We cannot manifest the glory of God on the earth, people, without working with the Holy Spirit to create new things. Do new things, in old things in new ways. Your bag, you're saying you don't have anything, but you have bags and shoes that are old. You have clothes that are old. Why not use them and cover the bag and come up with a new design? Why not reinvent that thing? The fashion that my parents wore in the 70s and the 60s, I'm seeing it come back again. Be creative, be innovative. Study, explore. That is the grace of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Lamentation, chapter 3, verse 23, every day is an opportunity to press the reset button. His mercies are new every morning. Has it ever occurred to you that every day is new? It's the innovation of God. It's the wisdom of God. Every day is a new innovation. Yesterday is not the same as today. God creates a brand new day every day. And what does that tell you? By the Spirit is telling you, wherever you are, you can start again. Just as a concept, we see it in video games. You are playing the video game and they win you, or they kill your character, or something happens and you fail a task, you can press the reset button. It will start again. And you keep trying and trying and trying until you perfect it. You couldn't get past level 5. Press a reset button. You'll start again. You pass level 5, you get to level 6, a new challenge, a new obstacle. Oh, you try it and you fail, you press the reset button. You start again. You overcome. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I just want to encourage you, because the Holy Spirit is doing a great work in your mind. Stop making excuses. Just the way he gave me the concept of noodles with yam. Create your own. Create your own. It might take time. It might take time. It might take trial and error, trying different things. But the Lord will be glorified at the end. Innovation might take time. God didn't create the world in one day. Innovation doesn't only take time. It might take different stages. He created. He said, let there be light. Let there be light. He spoke the word. Lord, let there be light. Lord, open my eyes to see light. Open my eyes to see clearly, to see where I'm going, to see what has been happening, to see in my family, no one has ever passed this level. Oh, let me see light. Oh, and as he opens my eyes, I say, Lord, I am going to do it. I'm going to become the first to graduate. I'm going to be the first to create this. I'm going to be the first. Nobody has done it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the first to lay a foundation. You start. And he created. He created. He made. He separated the light from the darkness. He separated the day from night. He made the land come out of the water. He created the sea, gathered it, processed, stages. You create in stages. You innovate in stages. He made the birds. He made the fishes. He made the animals. He created the environment. God is awesome. God is great. God is ready to do awesome things. Praise God. Praise God. Create something. Create something. Create something. Pour water. Experiment. Pour water in milk in water. Experiment. What would it come? If you add sweet inside it, if you add salt inside it, experiment. If you apply for this job, if you combine two things that have no relation, just the way soup is made, we make soup. you pour water, you pour oil, you add some spices, you add some vegetables, you what would he produce? Oh, let me add something. You add honey. What people say can never be added. You combine it. What are you doing? You are creating. You are calling for things that be not as though they are. You give it to somebody, try it, they say, this tastes horrible. Thank you. You give it to another person. Friends, whatever you do, that is the way God wants us to dominate. To come out of the bondage of poverty. To come out of the, because poverty hinders, or slavery hinders us from serving and worshiping God freely. Slavery of your addiction. Slavery of your past. Slavery to limiting mindsets. Slavery to what other people think. The limitation, the ceilings, the glass ceilings people have put over your head. Smash it. Break it. Let the chain break. Write your own book. Write your own songs. Start your own school. Start your own shoe line. Create something. Praise God. Because friends, God needs our creativity as part of his end time strategy. It's part of the end time strategy. It's part of the end time strategy. Praise God. Praise God. I will stop here today. I'll stop here. Remember, the whole earth is in a mess. The whole earth is in bondage. Create something. The products that they give you, must you use it? Is it adequate for you? The services you are getting, why complain? Create your own. Something that's substandard, perfect it. Something that's never been done, try it. Failing, you're not a failure when you fail in an experiment. You're only finding ways of not doing it. Or the ways that it wouldn't work. Try different combinations. You find out that in innovating, you get closer to God because you are behaving like him. You are behaving like him. Allow your children create. It's messy creation. You know, when you go to a construction site, we're construction people. When you go to the site, the places, it doesn't look good to behold. There are materials all over the place. There's dust all over the place. There's sand all over the place. But give us time. Creation takes time, people. After 6 months, you come out to the site and we charge you double. We charge you for the value we have created and you pay. Friends, start the process of creation. Come out of the bondage of the masters and the slave owners. Come out of the under the yoke of Pharaoh that is using sorcery and dark art and the wickedness of the devil to bamboozle and lampoon and hold you in slavery. Come out, the Holy Spirit. The Bible said the chain broke of Samson's body. It broke. And he looked, he observed, he looked around, he investigated, and he found a jawbone of an ass. He explored it. He took it. It was mass. He had mass. He had weight. He used it. He swung. He killed 1,000 men. He didn't do it in one go. He didn't do it in 1 minute. He didn't do it in 2 minutes. Sometimes you create. His hands must have been tired. Bible says he teaches my hands to war and my fingers to do battle. Makayagadabagada. In trying. The person that founded the electric bulb tried several experiments until he broke through. Don't give up. That divine innovation is part of God's plan for us to manifest his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. I don't know how we'll do it. Let us take a few questions. I don't know if you have a question or you're just praying in the spirit. You have been gingered in your spirit. You've been activated. The Holy Spirit is just brooding upon where you are. You can go on Slido. You can go on Facebook. If someone can help, any questions, please ask. asking questions is one of the ways of innovating things. No questions yet. Yeah, please, if you have any questions, I know some people might have a few questions. You might be saying, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have that. Ask, and the Lord will help us. The Holy Spirit is present. And that lady, the beautiful story thing, the end of the story is that in Acts of the Apostles 16, that lady was delivered. That spirit of soothsaying was cast out of her, and she was liberated. She was liberated. She was set free. Praise God. And Israel was liberated from Egypt because God came down and judged the gods of Egypt, the gods that had been putting the people of Israel under bondage. And God spoiled the Egyptians. And I trust that the Spirit of God will break the chains off your back, will break the chains, because whosoever the master has set free is free indeed. And you begin to manifest the glory of God upon your life. We are Love Assembly, a group of people that God has built up. God has loaded us with benefits, loaded us with grace, loaded us with things. But we shouldn't die with fire in our bones, with ideas, with books, with hair products, with new toothpaste, with new policies, with new guidelines. You can come up with new things that will bring benefit and glory to the Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Any questions? Any questions? I'll just give us 2 minutes. I can't see Facebook, so I don't know if anyone, if there's any question on Facebook. Nothing. Hallelujah. Please, let's just pray. Bible says that the sower went about and sowed seeds, and some fell by the wayside. I don't want you to be the people that fell by the wayside, that heard the word of God and they did not take it to heart. I don't want you to be the people that fell on the thorns. I don't want you to be the people that fell on rocks. I want us to be people that hear the word and do something with it. And one thing you can do tonight is to say, Lord, show me the chain. Show me the bondage. Show me the thing that the devil has held over me. Bible says, remove the covering cast, the veil of covering that covered the people of God. The Bible says that the horns, these are the horns that spoil the people, that spoil the people. There's horns that spoil the people. I want you to just pray that, Lord, every covering cast over my life, Lord, remove it. La Prakadosh. Lord, the Bible says in the book of, let's look at Exodus, Ezekiel chapter 29, verse 21. It says, in that day I will cause the horn of the Lord, the house of Israel, to burst forth, and I will give thee an opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Friends, I want you to pray that prayer, that the Lord will cause your horn to burst. I want you to pray that the Lord will cause your horn to burst. That the Lord will cause your horn to board. Lord, cause your people, cause me, O God, in the name of Jesus, to manifest your glory. Lord, every cloud over my mind, over my thinking, Lord, every cloud over my reasoning, every cloud over my trying, from giving it a go, from the fear of being laughed at, the fear of being mocked. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Give me the grace. Lift my horn. Exalt my horn like the unicorn. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, O Gori Basata Yagada, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty true God. The mighty true God, Masakayagarabraga, to the pulling down strongholds, casting down of imagination. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Friends, I want you to pray every stronghold in your life, in your family. I want you to pray tonight. I want to everybody, wherever you are, I want you to say, Lord, everything that is holding me strong, everything that is holding me strong, every mindset that is holding me strong, that stops me from believing your word, from believing the things that you have made me to be. Mazataya, the children of Israel said, we are like grasshoppers. That was a mindset. That was a mindset. That was a mindset. That was a mindset. The disciples said, oh, we don't have enough to feed the people. And Jesus said, What do you have? They were looking at the limitation, but they missed out the Holy Spirit, who was able to multiply seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Friends, I want you to pray. Most times, it is your bank balance that is a stronghold. You make decisions based on your bank balance. I want you to pray. Pull down the stronghold. Pull down the stronghold. Has the Lord not said, you that don't have money, come and buy. Come and buy. You don't need money to buy. I want you to pray. It says, casting down imaginations, they exalt themselves to the level of God. That is why you need to cast them down. You need the Holy Spirit to bring down every imagination. Some of you are afraid of things that have not happened, things that will not happen. You are imagining, oh, I will get married, I will not have children, I can't do well. The imagination needs to be cast down. If I write the book, who will buy it? Cast down the imagination. It is not your place to worry. Oh, Mazata Yagada Bragado. If I start this business, if I start this service, if I start this, who will use it? It is not of your business. What you're meant to do is to cast down the imagination. Cast it down to the ground that the Lord may be exalted. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, everything that exalts itself against, can you leave that scripture? What is it that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God? Nobody in my family has walked upon water. Jesus has already said to you, come. And you are beginning to reply, Jesus, nobody has done it. It's not possible. Science says this is not possible. It is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. God, with God, all things are possible. To him that believe, all things are possible. Bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Let the Holy Spirit, if you look at that situation, one man cannot face 1,000 men. It is not possible. But the thing that I know is possible is that with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Oh, Baraya Gada Bagada, some of you are using the armor of Saul to fight the devil, to fight the things that God has brought you into. Friends, I want you to pray tonight that God will use the skill, the stone that is in your hand. He can use it as a guided missile, and it will destroy the works of the enemy over your life. He can liberate you and destroy the masters and the soothsayers and the pharaohs. When God confounded Pharaoh, he spoiled the Pharaoh. He spoiled the economy of Egypt. He destroyed until the people were, until Pharaoh said, you can go. You can go. Friends, the devil has to let you go. The devil has to let your family go. No more walking like an elephant and eating like a rat. Mazata yagada. Mazata. Because the word of God says, through prosperity shall his kingdom be built. Mazata yagada. Mazata kingdom be, the word of God must be preached to the four corners of the earth. Mazata yagada. Some of you can't talk to your bosses because you're afraid of the sack. You're afraid of the sack. But when you know that your job doesn't pay you, it's not your job. It is the Lord who feeds you. You can speak to anybody and tell them the truth, and the truth will set them free. Friends, tonight, I pray by the Holy Spirit of God that every yoke, every activity of Satan running rampant and riot in your life is broken tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Father, I give you praise. be thou exalted. Father, let your word be accompanied tonight with signs following. Father, thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.